ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So I'll just read this verse by myself, since there isn't a meter to it, and then we'll do the word for word together.
Tadanim api parshva vartinam atmajam evanusochatam abhivikshamano mriga evaminivishita mana visrija lokam emam saha mrigena kalevaram mritam anu ya mrita janmanusmritir itaravang mriga shariram avapa.
Word for word, responsively.
Tadanim. At that time. Api. Indeed. Parshvavartinam. By the side of his deathbed. Atmajam. His own son. Eva. Like. Anusochatam. Lamenting. Abhivikshamanaha. Seen. Mrige. In the deer. Eva. Certainly. Abhini vishitaha. Manaha. His mind was absorbed. Visrija. Giving up. Lokam. World. Imam. This. Saha. With. Mrigena. The deer. Kalevaram, his body, mritam, died, anu, thereafter, na, not, mrita, destroyed, janma anusmriti, remembrance of the incident before his death, itaravat, like others, mriga shariram, the body of a deer, avapa, got. Translation, at the time of death, the king saw that the deer was sitting by his side, exactly like his own son, and was lamenting his death. Actually, the mind of the king was absorbed in the body of the deer, and consequently, like those bereft of Krishna consciousness, he left the world, the deer and his material body, and acquired the body of a deer. However, there was one advantage. Although he lost his human body and received the body of a deer, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There was a difference between Bharat Maharaja's acquiring a deer body and others acquiring different bodies according to their mental condition at the time of death. After death, others forget everything that has happened in their past lives, but Bharat Maharaj did not forget. According to Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tam ivaiti konteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 8, Text 6. After quitting his body, a person gets another body according to his mental condition at the time of death. At death, a person always thinks of that subject matter in which he has been engrossed during his life. According to this law, because Bharat Maharaj was always thinking of the deer and forgetting his worship of the Supreme Lord, he acquired the body of a deer. However, due to his having been elevated to the topmost platform of devotional service, he did not forget the incidents of his past life.
This special benediction saved him from further deterioration. Due to his past activities and devotional service, he became determined to finish his devotional service even in the body of a deer. It is therefore said in this verse, Mritam. Although he had died, Anu, afterwards, Namrita Janma Snusmritir Etaravat, he did not forget the incidents of his past life as others forget them. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nirdhadhati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam, it is proved herein that due to the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time, but he again revives his devotional service and returns home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us that as devotees of the Lord, our business is to always think of Krishna. And never forget Krishna. This is the basic principle of devotional service. And here we see that an advanced devotee of the Lord, like Bharat Maharaj, who was doing strict devotional activities, had left his family and gone to the forest, and was worshiping the Lord there in the forest with strict observance of regulative principles. Still, his mind became diverted. And purposely, he gave up his devotional activities and began to meditate on the deer instead of meditating on Krishna. So that just goes to show us, by that example, that any time our attention can be diverted to something else. Right? We should never think that because I'm so many years in the movement, or I'm so many years doing devotional service, that I become immune and I can do whatever I like. That's a very dangerous position. Rather, the devotee has the mentality of always being fearful of Maya, of always being fearful of falling down, because the fact remains that we can fall at any moment. Okay? We see here that although Bharat Maharaj, due to thinking of the deer at the time of death, took the birth as a deer in the deer's body, still, by Krishna's grace, by Krishna's benediction, due to his devotional service, he remembered everything in his past life, even in the body of a deer. Whereas generally, people, they get a body according to whatever they are thinking of in this life. Srila Prabhupada explains, a man builds a skyscraper building and he's always thinking of that skyscraper building. How much rent he's getting, how to increase the rent, how to do the maintenance. He's always meditating on his skyscraper building or his business, his Mercedes car. Right? So because of not performing devotional service, there's only one other alternative. If you perform devotional service, you can remain free from sin. But if you don't perform devotional service, you will be sinful. So due to those sins, he'll have to take birth again. Right? And since he's always thinking of his building, he can take birth in that building also, as a rat in the building, right? Or a cockroach in his Mercedes car. Right?
Srila Prabhupada said.
So whatever one thinks about, you know, that's a situation one will be in. But generally when materialists change their situation, or always when materialists change their situation, they forget the past. They forget their past situation. They start a new chapter in the book of life. However, we see Bharat Maharaj didn't forget. He remembered that he was the Bharat Maharaj. He remembered that he had left his family, his own sons and wife and kingdom, and had gone to the forest and was performing stringent devotional service, but became diverted by this small deer and gave up willfully, purposefully, gave up his devotional practices. Right? So he remembered that. So Bharat Maharaj's situation, although it was punishment, right, just like the materialists are punished for not doing devotional service, they're punished by taking another birth in the material world. Well, it was a punishment Bharat Maharaj received for diverting his attention from devotional service, but it's not exactly like the punishment of the materialist. We can see the difference. He remembered his previous life by the arrangement of the Lord, and therefore he could use, even in the body of a deer, he could progress. He could increase his devotional service. He could increase his attachment to the personality of Godhead, even though he was in this unfortunate situation of being in the body of a deer. So the Lord's punishment for non-devotees and the Lord's punishment for devotees is not exactly the same. Because for the devotee, by that punishment, he gets an opportunity to intensify his devotional service, to increase his devotional service. He doesn't allow the devotee to forget him. Okay? Very rare that the Lord will allow the devotee to forget him forever. You have to really want to forget Krishna very badly if you've been a devotee before Krishna will let you go. Right? Some persons, some devotees that had been devotees, and they no longer were performing devotional service. They stopped chanting. But they found that they couldn't really enjoy in the material world the way they used to. That same ability to enjoy sense gratification was not there. They felt guilty about sinful activities. So some of them went to some psychiatrist to learn how they could overcome this guilty feeling by performing sinful activities. Well, actually, that guilty feeling, that's Krishna within the heart as a Paramatma. You know, this saying, let your conscience be your guide. Well, what is that conscience? That conscience is your friend, the Paramatma. And he's reminding us about what is to be done and what is not to be done. Uh-oh, that's a no-no. Don't do that. Right? So in effect, what they're saying is, they want to forget the Paramatma. They want to become covered over, like the materialist. Right? Due to their long association with material nature and ignoring the Lord within the heart, they no longer have a conscience. Right? Someone who is very degraded, people will say about him that he has no conscience. He can do anything. Right? It doesn't bother him. Right? So for the devotees of the Lord, right, the Lord, he, even if they become diverted, right, they forget their duty, they forget their responsibility, still he reminds them by his causeless mercy, as he did Bharat Maharaj. And we can understand that this is Krishna's mercy on his devotees. Krishna is known as Bhaktivatsalya. He's very kind. He thinks very favorable to his devotees. Right? Even once, if a person thinks, from this day forward, Krishna, I am yours. If he just thinks like that once, then Krishna takes charge of such a devotee. He takes responsibility for such a devotee. What to speak of a person who makes even further commitment in front of the fire and the vigraha, the form of the Lord, and the spiritual master, and promises to chant 16 rounds and to follow the regulated principles. Krishna takes even more care for such a devotee. But sometimes we see that even though such a commitment has been made, the devotee, like Bharat Maharaj, becomes diverted and doesn't keep that commitment. And the first thing that goes is the chanting of 16 rounds. Once the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, why 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, there's no prohibition. Why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? Right? But there has to be a minimum, a fixed quota, right? So at least, minimum, 16 rounds. Right? If the devotee of the Lord chants the 16 rounds, following the regulated principles, that connection with Krishna is there. One is on the spiritual platform, on the path of progressive devotional service. But we see that even though as a gentleman keeps his word, right? Like in business, a lot of times in business there's no contract, right? Somebody calls up and says, Mal bejo, right? Ek lori bejo, mal. And because the word is there, and, you know, his word is good, they send one truckload of goods. No contract, no performer invoice, nothing. Just his word, is it not? And after some time, a person's reputation in the market becomes very solid. Everybody knows his word is as good as gold, right? If he says he'll pay, he'll pay. And that's a good thing to have, right? In business, he's known as, you know, a proper gentleman, right? So when one gives one's word, a gentleman will keep it, right? Or try his very best. There may be insinuating circumstances, but people will understand that, right? But we should never think that it's not important to chant 16 rounds, right? Or I did that for some time, but now I don't do it anymore. No. One should endeavor very strictly to keep one's commitment of chanting 16 rounds. And if you can't finish your rounds that day, then the next day you should make them up. And that is the determination that Lord Krishna is looking for, right? When Krishna sees that determination that, of the devotee to keep his word, then he feels obligated. He, just like Bharat Maharaj, although he deviated, he brought him back. Yeah, some punishment was there, no doubt. for that deviation. But by that very punishment, he also gave an opportunity to increase his devotional service. Right? Because Bharat Maharaj got the body of the deer, but still remembered his past life, he could realize his mistake. And even in the body of deer, he kept himself next to devotees. He kept himself in an ashram. And in that way, he was always hearing. Right? But Maya is so powerful that even though I'm in association of devotees, even though I may be living in the temple, Maya is so strong, still I don't chant my fixed number of rounds. We see in the life of Haridas Thakur, he was chanting 300,000 names a day. Now nobody can imitate Haridas Thakur. He was approached by Maya herself. Right? Maya said, enjoy with me. And he said, okay, I will, but just let me finish my rounds. But the trick was, he never finished. He just kept on chanting. He was always chanting. And he could easily pass the test because of his fixed determination to chant his rounds. In the same way, this is our protection. Maya will test us in so many ways. Mind, every moment, is giving some nonsense suggestion. Do this, say that nonsense, right? Eat this nonsense, go here, right? But one who is determined to chant 16 rounds daily, nicely chant, avoiding the offenses, can very easily say to the mind, hey, don't bother me. Shut up, mind. How did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggest to deal with mind? In the morning you beat with shoes, and in the night you beat with broomstick. But just like Bharat Maharaj became attached to the deer, we become attached to our mind and all its suggestions for doing so many things other than devotional service. Right? To the point where we don't listen to Guru, we don't listen to devotees, we don't listen to Shastra, we only listen to our mind. Mind is supreme. Right? I have to satisfy my mind. And this situation only comes about when we're not chanting. When we're not chanting the fixed number of rounds. Yes, even if you're chanting your 16 rounds, still the mind will suggest so many diversions from Krishna consciousness. But by chanting the fixed number of rounds, one will be able to pass the test and tell the mind to shut up, to ignore the mind. A successful devotee is one who ignores the rascal mind. If one wants to surmount this cycle of birth and death, to go back to the spiritual world, then one has to take this. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he was strictly performing devotional service. Very strictly. But he became diverted. So in this way, things have been made easy for us. Right? That simply by chanting this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. one can obtain the highest destination. Highest destination. People don't even know what the highest destination is. And for the materialist in the material world, they become attracted by so many insignificant things. Right? They think the destination is something here in this material world. Our success and fruit of activities. Our obtaining some powers. No, but much beyond all of this, the highest destination was to obtain the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. In one of the five kinds of relationships, right? To become Krishna's servant, to become Krishna's friend, or to become Krishna's parent, or to become Krishna's lover. This is the highest destination. And this can come by chanting. Right? Satyatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridha brataha. This is Krishna's own version. Satyatam kirtayanto mam. Always performing kirtan. Right? By always chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. We're always hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of the devotees. By always seeing Krishna in the temple, nicely dressed. By using every moment to serve Krishna, being fully engaged in Krishna's service. And if not having any other engagement, then chanting. There's no alternative. You either do this and go back to Godhead, or you don't do it and you stay here in the material world. Choice is ours. And every moment there's a choice. Every moment. To think of Krishna, forget Krishna. Be in the shadow or be in the light. Every moment. So Srila Prabhupada, his instruction was chant Hare Krishna. Every moment, chant Hare Krishna. And that way you won't be engaged in any frivolous talk, in any politics. Or some anxiety. You know, he said this and she said that and he did this and he did that. Right? What has that got to do with Krishna consciousness? Nothing. Right? Is that going to help you? Gramya katha. Not Hari katha. Gramya katha. Gramya katha is just like it's described in the Bhagavatam. Grasses that are in the pond. Especially in Bengal, they have so many ponds. And these reeds, they grow. And they have some furry flower at the top. You know? And after the rainy season, these reeds, they suck all the water out of the pond to the point where the pond becomes completely dry. So whatever little Krishna consciousness we have, and in my case it's very little, it'll be evaporated by Gramya Katha. Right? Just like the reeds suck up the water that's in the pond. In the same way, our Krishna consciousness is evaporated, is sucked up by loose talks. Right? So the devotee is always very careful about what the tongue does. Right? Because the tongue is our source of engagement in devotional service, but it can also be our fall down. It can be our fall down. Why? Because of loose talks or eating voraciously. Right? Eating too much. Yes, it's Mahaprasadam. But if you eat too much, right, that still comes under sense gratification. Right? Of course, if you're a new devotee, you can't eat too much. You can eat as much as you like, Prabhupada said. But as you mature in devotional service, one has to be careful. Because if one eats more, one will sleep more. If one sleeps more, one dreams more. And believe me, we're not dreaming of Krishna's lotus feet. And then one becomes frustrated, right? Due to increase of material desires, and that frustration manifests itself as kutinata, politics, right? And we find ourselves in some unfortunate situation. Instead of meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, that he said this and he did that and he did this and he did that, and therefore I'm unhappy. No, I'm unhappy because I'm not chanting Hare Krishna right now at this moment. That's why I'm unhappy. Not because if he said that and he did this and they did that and they did this. That's not our unhappiness. That's our mental concoction, right? The Akash Pushpa, the dream. It's not real. Just like a dream is not real. Similarly, what we perceive to be our problems, it's not real. It's imaginary. Our real problem is that we're not chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada quoted some verses from Bhagavad Gita in the purport, one verse in particular. But there's another verse that goes along with that. I'd like to read that verse, and this is from the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 5. The verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted was Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, verse number 5. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam. And whoever at the time, at the end of his life, quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree. Toror eva sahisnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. And what is that full benefit of Krishna consciousness? Is to be able to think of Krishna. Of course, at the time of death, it's a very difficult situation, very painful, and very difficult to speak. The lungs become choked up with mucus, and the temperature goes up to 107, and then at death it drops down to zero. So it's a very difficult bodily situation. And one may not be able to chant the holy name of Krishna. But for one who's practiced one's whole life to think of Krishna, by constantly, and as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, incessantly to chant, that means without cease, continuously chant, that Krishna will have special consideration for such a devotee. Right? One shouldn't think that, you know, I'll do all nonsense, I'll do whatever my mind says, and at the end, I'll think of Krishna. Will it be possible? No. It'll only be possible for those who have sincerely practiced in this life to try to think of Krishna, to bring the mind back from wherever it wanders to think of Krishna. It'll be possible for that person and not for anyone else. And then in the next verse, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits this body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is herein explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. So these two purports essentially perfectly sum up the points that we're trying to make, and that is practicing in this life to think of Krishna, so that at the end of this life, one will be able to think of Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. So association with devotees is a very essential thing. only devotees will remind us of Krishna. Non-devotees can't. They'll remind us of sense gratification. So keeping fixed up in association of devotees is a very important aspect of devotional service. One other verse I'd like to read. You know, kirtan is a very important aspect of devotional service, just like chanting on the 16 rounds is important. But kirtan, in one sense, is even more important. Right? But kirtan should be performed in a certain way. And if we take the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then we can perform kirtan nicely. So Srila Prabhupada says in a letter to Jagadish Pandit Das, December 28, 1974, "My opinion is that it's not necessary for us to utilize these different musical talents for spreading Krishna consciousness. I would rather see people follow strictly the path of Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan devotees. We are using mridanga, kartal, and that is enough. We are not musicians. We are Krishna bhaktas. Therefore, we do not stress so much importance on these different musical talents. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. Had he thought it would have been better to spread Krishna consciousness by another way, he would have done so. But no, simply with mridanga and kartal traveling and chanting Hare Krishna, asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna, preaching simply Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy, this is the process. There's no need for us to try and add anything to this simple method. It will only be a distraction. Therefore, I request you to follow the simple path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help me spread this wonderful mission all over the world. Keep yourself pure and fixed up in Krishna consciousness by following the basic principles that I have given, chanting 16 rounds daily, following the four regulator principles, rising early, attending Mangalartik and classes, etc. This is of the utmost importance." So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we need to keep things simple, right? And keep this kirtan simple, right? It's not your melodious voice that makes the kirtan proper. It's someone's sincere effort to chant the holy name for glorification of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would pick a leader of the kirtan many times who had the worst voice, right? But he had him lead the kirtan. So the sincerity is the important thing. And being sincere means that you want to glorify Krishna, that you want to do things for the pleasure of Krishna. This is what it means to be sincere. Sometimes we get carried away with the external part of kirtan. Some alankar. Where did this come from? We don't see Srila Prabhupada doing any alankars. Why? Well, it's not required. Just chant Hare Krishna. Right? Where did that come from? The first time I saw anything like that, it was at the opening of the Prabhupada's Palace of Gold in New Vrindavan. This was just after Prabhupada left. It was something like 1980 or something, 81, must have been. And Vyasaki just got back from preaching. Now he travels all over the world, but that time he just got back from Bangladesh, right? So a lot of kirtan goes on in Bangladesh like this, with alankars, right? So he was doing, and I had never heard that before in any of our kirtans. And I was standing next to Achyutananda. And Achyutananda turned to me and he said, "This is all from the Sahajas in Bangladesh." I didn't know, I just took what he said for granted. But we don't need, just keep it simple, right? Chant Hare Krishna, simple melodies, right? Dancing simply, kartal, mridanga, why complicate it? Go to, Bharatiya school, right? for 6 years to learn all the different ragas and alankars. Not required. It's not needed. Just keep it simple. Chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. Go out in the streets and chant Hare Krishna. Spread the holy name. Everyone will become liberated. And always keep in mind that the kirtan is we're assisting Srila Prabhupada to spread this movement. We're not doing anything. We're not big preachers, right? As soon as I think I'm big preacher, I'm big kirtan wala, I'm finished, right? But if I always realize, I always maintain that I'm the assistant, I'm assisting Srila Prabhupada to help him spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. One time there was a devotee named Trishtadumna. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to tell you about my preaching programs. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, your preaching programs? I am preaching. You are assisting me. And that devotee said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes we become bewildered. We think, I'm preaching, you know. I'm doing katha. I'm going this Jodhpur and this poor and that poor, and I'm giving katha. We're doing nothing. Right? We're only assisting Srila Prabhupada. To do what? To spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. Right? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Right? So we have to be careful not to become bewildered. This is a very encouraging verse about constant chanting from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 1, Text Number 11. Etan nividyamananam ichatam akutovayam yoginam nripanirnitam harir namanukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So what is Shukadeva Goswami suggesting to Maharaj Parikshit? Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Right? Following in the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way for all success. Right? So whatever one's intention are, right, that can be fulfilled very nicely by constantly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Whatever our desire is, it'll become successful by constant chanting. But if we don't chant, then certainly for not chanting, we'll have to be punished. It won't be the punishment like the materialist, but there will be some punishment. But even that punishment, by the mercy of Krishna, will help us to increase our devotional service, as we see in the case of Maharaj Bharat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Suppose some devotee who has performed devotional service for 30, 40 years and he realizes that he cannot make up to be a pure devotee.
He realized what?
He cannot become a pure devotee in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And therefore he prays to Lord Krishna that as a full-fledged human devotee, I may not get a chance to enter a spiritual world. Better make me some bumblebee or...
Make me what?
Bumblebee, butterfly, and transfer me to spiritual world. Can he pray like that?
Well, you know, if a devotee isn't successful in this lifetime, Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that he takes his birth in his next life in a family of devotees, right? So in that family of devotees, then he has a good opportunity to engage again in devotional service. You know, we should really be fearful.
Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you do a little bit of devotional service, that will protect you from the most dangerous type of fear. Right? So Prabhupada explains what the most dangerous type of fear is. The most dangerous type of fear is to take birth in the lower species of life. Right? Because animals can't understand about Krishna. They don't have the intelligence to appreciate Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So therefore, that's the most fearful situation, is to revert again back down into the lower species of life. So a devotee will never pray for that. A devotee will always pray that somehow or another, keep me at the shelter of your lotus feet.
Not lower species of life in material world, but in spiritual world, like there are many animals, butterflies, bumblebee, they are also serving Lord there. So if we cannot fit into the human category in spiritual world...
Yeah, well, we're ready, you know, Lord Brahma prays that even if I take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan, they'll be fine. I'll be in ecstasy, Lord Brahma said. Because then the devotees will, all Krishna's devotees will walk on my head, and Krishna will walk on my head. So he was happy to take birth as a blade of grass. So a butterfly should be okay in the spiritual world, but not in the material world. Not in the material world. The devotees in the spiritual world, they can change their body also. One moment they can be a butterfly, next moment they can be a flower in Krishna's garland. They can change at will, just by their desire. Krishna fulfills it. All the trees are kalpavriksha. A tree here in this material world can only give you one fruit. Right? A bale tree will only give you bales. It's not going to give you bananas. But in the spiritual world, the trees will give you anything that you desire for the service of Krishna. They're kalpavrikshas. So the spiritual world is not like this material world. It's a transcendental place. And whatever form you have there is transcendental. Whatever it is. And everyone in the spiritual world, whether it's the cows or the trees, they're all thinking how they're serving Krishna. They're chintamani. They're not material. They're completely spiritual. Their very existence is submerged in spirituality. And every moment, they're thinking of Krishna and serving Krishna. And there's a relationship. Even if one is a blade of grass, there's relationship with Krishna at every second, at every moment in the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Yes, the devotee should pray, whatever it is, let me go to the spiritual. Let me not remain here in the material world.
Hare Krishna. Normally in our day-to-day life, how do we keep that balance? We have normally an attachment to our family members. So there is a thin line between a detachment and attachment. Of course, we should be compassionate for other living beings. In this case, Bharat Maharaj was very compassionate. So how do we develop that kind of detachment? You know, a father and son and a mother and a, you know.
Well, you know, I was trying to make the point in the class that everything will come, the proper balance, by chanting Hare Krishna. Right? If we chant our fixed number of rounds daily with attention, right, then we'll be properly balanced, right? If we understand the importance of chanting, then we'll be properly balanced. But there's always that possibility that the our attachments can divert us, so we have to be cautious. Our attachment should be progressive towards Krishna. We should become progressively free from the anartas, right? The unwanted things that are there within the heart. And gradually that they'll be replaced by the wanted things, a desire to serve Krishna, do something for Krishna's pleasure, right? So that comes about by chanting. If you don't chant, forget it. You'll never think to serve Krishna. Right? But if you chant, gradually the unwanted things What are the unwanted things? That I am the enjoyer. I can enjoy aham bhogi. I am great. I am a great devotee. Just see, I have tilak, I have kantimala. I am a great devotee. Right? We're not a great anything. We're only a great fool if we think like that. And Krishna will expose our foolishness if He's merciful to us. And then we'll see our foolishness. And in all humility, trinada pisuni chena turura pisahishnana amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Then we'll chant nicely. Right? If Krishna is merciful, He exposes to the devotee his attachments. Right? And then the devotee, through having intelligence by chanting the holy name of Krishna and being in association with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he realizes what are the anarthas. Anartha nivrittasya. And clears away the anarthas. By what? By bhajanakriya. By what is bhajanakriya? Chanting. Kirtan and japa. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Who's got the microphone? Okay.
Prabhuji, thank you very much for a very encouraging class for 16 round chanting attentively. Prabhuji, what happened when we preached Krishna consciousness?
You know why I gave the class? It's because, you know, of all the people in this room, right? Everybody might be today chanting 16 rounds. But Srila Prabhupada clearly says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that of thousands of devotees that chant 16 rounds, in the end, very few will chant. Very few will continue their vow. And the ones that don't, they are the casualties in the battle against Maya. So, my point in the class, what I was trying to show is that let us not be a casualty. Right? Let's keep that protective kavicha. You know, there's the Narasingha kavicha, Narayan kavicha. But we have a kavicha. And the kavicha is the chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds. That's our kavicha. That's the real kavicha in the Kali Yuga. To protect us from what? The bad qualities that are there in Kali Yuga. Kaler dosha nehe rajan. It's an ocean of bad qualities. Cheating, lying. For no reason people tell lies. They tell one lie, and then they have to tell 100 more lies to cover up for that lie. Whereas if you tell the truth, no problem. And it's very complicated. You tell one lie, you have to remember the first lie so that the second lie doesn't contradict the first lie. It becomes very complicated. Right? But they can't avoid telling lies. Why? Because they have the Kali Yuga qualities. So we can become protected. We can actually be truthful. A Brahmin's quality is that he tells the truth. Right? By chanting, by the kavicha of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Anyway, go ahead.
And this is my personal experience. When my chanting gets delayed after morning program, I won't get taste for service. So my question is, Prabhuji, when I finish my chanting rounds and then I go for preaching, so I see person who is faithless. So I somehow or other give him material allurement that if you chant Hare Krishna, you get material benefit. In that sense, he started chanting Hare Krishna. So he doesn't have faith for anything. He just said, material benefit, let me chant. So is this that covering the ninth offense, what Krishna said, to preach the glories of Krishna consciousness, faithless person?
No. Our business is to ask everyone to chant Hare Krishna. That's the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted everyone to chant. Somehow or another, get them to chant, right? We ask them to try this chanting. They're trying so many nonsense things for happiness. So many things. Buy this, buy that, go here, do this. Right? For happiness, they're doing so many things. So we say, you chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It will make you happy. Try it and see. Well, that's our business, to ask them to chant. That's not, preaching the glories of the holy name to faithless persons, someone who thinks that the chanting is like some pious activity, like you get some punya. So chanting Hare Krishna, you get punya. That's a faithless person. Chanting to such a person about how the holy name can take you to the spiritual world, right? By even Nama Bas, just a dim glimmer of the holy name, Haridas Thakur, in one meeting told the person that you'll get liberation. Right? And that person didn't accept it because he thought that chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra was just some pious activity. And here Haridas Thakur is saying that just by Nama Bas, a dim glimmer of the holy name, you'll get liberation. He said, hey, that's nonsense. What nonsense you're talking, he told Haridas. If you don't get mukti by Nama Bas, then your nose should fall off. And then he offended Haridas Thakur. And he himself became diseased by that offense to Haridas Thakur. Right? So there's added glories of the holy name of the Lord. That we don't want to preach. Right? But to request them to chant. Chant, you'll be happy. That we can do.
Two questions, unrelated. One is, you mentioned that you should be fearful that you'll fall down. Now, if you're really chanting, how can you be fearful? If you're really chanting, fear and chanting are not together. They don't go
but
together.
But we don't always chant.
Yep.
So when we're not chanting, we should have that little fear.
When you're not chanting.
When you're not chanting, you should have that fear.
I just think that they're two opposite.
Well, I agree with you. When we're chanting, we have no fear. When we're absorbed in chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. We're with Krishna, we're fearless. But do we always chant? No. So that time we should be fearful. Look at I should be fearful. I'm not chanting. I could fall down. And that fear should bring us to where? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So I agree with you 100%. But what I'm talking about is when we don't chant. Then we should be afraid of Maya. And our protection against Maya is the holy name. If you're, like you said, when you're chanting, there's no fear. You don't have to fear Maya. Right?
Second question.
Okay.
Why should fear get you to chant? It's you want to please the Lord, and that's why you chant. You don't chant because fear is getting you to chant.
If I always wanted to please the Lord, I wouldn't stop chanting. I would always be chanting. But everybody's not on that platform. And so therefore we need to be reminded why we need to chant. Right?
Third question.
You said two.
Yeah, but you got going.
Okay.
You mentioned that...
He wants his turn too over here.
Okay.
No, it's okay. You can ask. I'll let him ask.
You talked about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed people with not so great musical talent also to lead kirtan.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
And we're not on the same platform. And we are attracted when somebody is leading kirtan very well.
Hmm.
So, for people who are not as exalted, wouldn't it be better to have somebody who leads kirtan very well?
Yeah, but we don't really understand who's leading kirtan very well. We have a kind of... I mean, there was one devotee he was leading, it seemed like, very well. But Srila Prabhupada said, tell him to stop chanting, he's insincere. Nobody could figure it out. But Srila Prabhupada could figure it out. You know, we want the kirtan to be nice, it's true, so that people will be attracted. But You know, that can get you can get carried overboard with that. And I think a lot of times in ISKCON today we are a little overboard with the, you know, with the kind of polishedness that we want to have in the kirtan. Of course, kirtan should be nice, but as Srila Prabhupada said, it can be simple. It doesn't have to be overly musically talented.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I want to ask you two things. Firstly, you said that participating in kirtan is also important. Participating in kirtan is also important. But when there is a lot of seva, other seva to be done for Krishna, what should be our priority?
Well, Srila Prabhupada used to say, do the needful. If there's a service that needs to be done on priority, then, well, you have to do that. But we shouldn't continuously be in a situation where there's always some service that doesn't allow us to be in the kirtan. Right? We have kirtan at you know, so many different functions throughout the morning program. The first kirtan is at Mangalarti. Right? Everybody's there at Mangalarti. Nobody, unless you're offering the artik to the Lord, then there shouldn't be any other service. Unless, you know, you have to go pick somebody up at the airport or some, you know, expedient service may be there, so you have to do it. You have to do the needful. But then, generally speaking, we should be in Mangalarti and we should be chanting the Sangsar prayers and then the prayers to the spiritual master and then Panchatattva, then Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and try to absorb ourselves.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, my second question is, the kirtan should be done very simply, means need not be in a melodious voice or anything. But sometimes, when some devotees lead kirtan, our heart melts. When some other devotees do kirtan, our heart doesn't melt. You see, so the mistake is in our heart or in the kirtan.
I cannot know your heart. I can only know my heart. And my heart is hard-hearted. So that's the thing about devotional service. I can't know your heart. Lord Chaitanya knows your heart. Srila Prabhupada knows your heart. But I cannot know your heart.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry. Any other questions?
Prabhuji, on the point of this melodious kirtan and all, how do we understand these Hare Krishna rock bands? And even in ISKCON, we find many CDs of music where, you know, devotees singing very melodiously and very sophisticated music.
So. Well, these are techniques. These are techniques to try to bring people to devotional service, right? Some CD with rock music on it, you know. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong in that. But in our regular kirtan, which we perform in front of the Lord, or out on the streets, we should keep that simple. Kolen kartels, Prabhupada said. Kolen kartels. Just as Lord Chaitanya did. But for the purpose of preaching, somebody may make, you know, use modern instruments to attract people. But then ultimately we want to bring those people that are attracted to the simple platform of kol and kartel. Srila Prabhupada's kirtan was simple. Chanted Hare Krishna. You can hear, there are many recordings of Srila Prabhupada's kirtan. But then, you know, in Prabhupada's time also, devotees were, they had what's called the road show. And devotees traveled around in a bus, and they set up a stage, and they had guitars and drums, and they did chanting with modern instruments. So that was okay. Prabhupada let him do that for some time. But then, you know, many devotees get carried away. Just like Bharat Maharaj got attracted by the deer, the devotees in the road show, they stopped Mangalarti, they stopped Srimad Bhagavatam class on the road show, and they were just doing the rock and roll shows. So when Prabhupada heard that, they said, okay, stop it. And Vishnu Jan Maharaj was in charge, and Kirtananda Maharaj were in charge of the road show. But he said, okay, no more. No more road show. And he stopped it. Just like there was a political party in God We Trust. And one of the devotees was running for the mayor of the post of mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, Balavanta Prabhu. He was a lawyer previously, and he was running for the post of mayor, and the party was in God We Trust, and Prabhupada encouraged it in the beginning. But when he saw the devotees became more interested in reading Time magazine than Bhagavad Gita, then he knew it was time for them to drop that. Right? So Prabhupada said, you can go for the big fish, but don't get wet. Right? And the tendency is that when we do these innovative things, I mean, it's all right, Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairaga Uchite, but then you have to be careful and not get carried away.
Hare Krishna. I would like to assist in that answer. When the heart melts, it's for the materialist that the tune is melting your heart. For the devotee, it is Hare Krishna which melts the heart. The words Hare Krishna, Hare. So that's why we use all this rock and all, so that we attract the materialist first by the tune. And once the materialist is attracted, then we use the words and, you know, let him become a devotee. So that's why we use all the ragas and all. That's what I wanted to just make it clear.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? I can't hear you.
Hare Krishna. Will devotee be allowed to change the body having at the middle age, having no responsibilities than the services, devotional services?
Will the devotee be allowed to change the body?
At the middle age.
At the middle age?
Yes.
Well, you know, if you die, you don't have a chance. You don't have a choice. If you die at middle age, that's it. You have to change the body. I mean, it's not a being allowed. It's the nature. It's by the daivi prakriti. We'll have to change bodies. If we die middle age or childhood or old age, you'll have to take birth again in another body. But for the devotee of the Lord who chants Hare Krishna at the time of death, then he can transfer back to the spiritual world. He doesn't have to get another material body.
Hare Krishna. Maine dekha hai ki बहुत से लोग जो बहुत से भक्त लोग होते हैं गले में माने जप माला लेके घूमते हैं. बाकी मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि वो 16 माला नहीं करते हैं, इसलिए इनका माइंड जो है वो विचलित हो जाता है. कभी गुस्सा भी हो जाता है, कभी कुछ मटेरियल उसमें बेनिफिट में चले जाते हैं. तो जब 16 माला कर देवे तो एकदम कहीं मटेरियल बेनिफिट वगैरह कुछ भी नहीं आता है. तो उसके लिए आप जरा सा कुछ कहिए, प्रकाश डालिए कि भाई क्या माने के है आप भीमा प्रभु.
या व्हाट्स द क्वेश्चन?
तो आपने मेरा क्वेश्चन सुना नहीं.
आई थॉट यू वर मेकिंग अ कमेंट, नॉट अ क्वेश्चन.
मैंने कहा कि ये जो जपमाला लेके बहुत से डिवोटीज बड़े बड़े घूमते हैं.
yeah.
बाकी उनका माइंड बदलता
right,
नहीं है.
right, 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 right.
और 16 माला करते हुए भी माइंड बदलता नहीं. इसका मतलब यह है कि वो 16 माला नहीं करते. तो उसके ऊपर कुछ कहिए आप.
द होल क्लास वॉज अबाउट दैट. द होल क्लास वॉज अबाउट दैट. यू वांट मी टू गिव द होल क्लास अगेन? Okay. Sorry for running over time. Grantrad Shimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Itai Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.